Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now, as he does every Monday at 11 o'clock, to give us his thoughts on the Browns extravaganza from the day before. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, BrownZone.com, where you can read all of his work. He is Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Scotty.
What's going on, guys?
We're just figuring out passwords and stuff like that.
Because we haven't been here in a year and a half.
Yeah.
So now we're together.
Yeah,
it's
the pandemic's
scary.
Over. You didn't hear, huh?
We might sound better, too.
Well, I'm glad you guys are together.
Yeah, thanks. Nine sacks. A glimpse of what this could be or an aberration?
Well, given that choice, I'd probably go aberration. Just because you don't get nine sacks a week, and I think that Bears plan and that Bears offensive line is not up to NFL standards. But having said that, you know, I think Myles Garrett has a chance to dominate every week. If you saw Jadeveon Clowney play his best game in three, you know, games with the Browns and pick up two sacks, and you saw the rest of the defense play really well. So I think it was a huge step in the right direction. If I were a fan, I would not expect that kind of dominance, you know, and those kind of sack numbers. But I do think it's a glimpse into the potential of that defense.
I'm going to just backtrack a second before we get into the minutia. How great was the crowd yesterday, Scott? When I heard the Myles Garrett chant on TV and I felt like it was bleeding into my living room, I'm like, this is one of the best crowds I've ever heard. You tell me you were there.
Yeah, it was loud, and that was a really good moment, and I think Myles genuinely appreciated it. And he talked about it after the game, and then he tweeted about it. That chant meant something to him, and I thought that was a smart move by the crowd, right, to get that going, and even though, you know, he was on the sideline, to recognize the game he was having. And then I think the legends also added to the atmosphere. You know, the quote, Jackson gave a good speech, and Josh Cribbs gave one where he talked about his greatest honor was having played and bled and won for the Browns fans. So, yeah, it was a good atmosphere down there for sure.
Okay, I'm not going to make a big deal about this. Opening drive, Browns on 4th and 5, go for it. They passed up a, 53-yard field goal attempt, something like that, 55-yard field goal attempt. Mm-hmm. And looked like major miscommunication and Baker was sacked. So the next time out, they get out on the field and they get a 4th down and 1 at the 20. And it's 4th and 1. I like being aggressive. You pass up a 37-yard field goal try in what was at that point a 3-0 game. And again, it looked like miscommunication. And the next time out, you kick a 57-yard field goal, which is congratulations, Chase McLaughlin. Should I be concerned about A, the decisions, B, the communication breakdowns?
Yeah, I would go more the communication breakdowns, Jeff, because, you know, I think we've learned that Kevin Stefanski is going to be aggressive in those spots. I think, you know, there's a big difference between 4th and 5 and 4th and 1 and 4th and 15, right? That's why they kicked the field goal, because it's 4th and 15. The option there is, you know, punt or kick the field goal. I was okay with both the decisions to go for it on those first two 4th downs, but you have to have the right communication, right? You can't have breakdowns. It looked like the first one, Jed Wills just didn't know the snap count.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, whoever it was, Robert Quinn, I think, comes flying around, and the play's blown up before Baker could do anything, you know, and the snap kind of floated back to him too, but I don't think that was a big factor because Quinn was, you know, in the backfield so fast. You know, the second one, you know, rewatching this morning, maybe it's just good defense by the Bears that they switched coverages or they had a different coverage than what Baker was expecting, and he couldn't get the ball out to Nick Chubb, and Khalil Mack was in his face so fast. And I get that, you know, you go when it's third and one, you say, okay, we're going to, it's four down territory. And they like the play they ran to Felton. The guy just made a good tackle on him. So then you go for it on fourth down. But I think Stefanski clearly wants to clean up the communication. And I asked I asked him about that after the game. And he said, we can't have those kind of mistakes at home. We need to be a clean operation when we're not dealing with any crowd noise. And it wasn't. And those are two big moments. Now, obviously, you know, it didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. But against a different opponent in a different game, you're either giving up 6 points by not kicking the field goals, or you're giving up 14 by not being able to convert those into first downs.
Scott, let's play the grocery store game. Okay, I'm going to walk up to you in the grocery store. Hey, Scott, great to see you. You're going to say, hey, Andy, how are you? Hey, I got to complain about something from yesterday's game. And then you're going to look at me, and you're going to look at me like I'm crazy. And then I'm going to say to you, well, don't you have anything to complain about from yesterday's game? Because I'm shocked by the number of people that are upset by little things. If you can complain about something from yesterday's game, what would it be?
I guess I would go offensive line. I mean, Baker was sacked 5 times.
Okay.
It needs to be better. Now, that's a good Bears front, and stuff happens. And, you know, one of the sacks we just talked about was just Will's not knowing the snap count or appearing not to know the snap count. You know, there's other reasons for some of the sacks. You know, that fourth down one, whether the second fourth down one, whether it was miscommunication or just a good play by the Bears defense. You know, Baker was in a spot where he tried to make something happen because it is fourth down. You just can't throw the ball away. But, you know, the line, especially early, I think wasn't up to the standards it holds for itself. And then in the second half, played better. I thought the protection was better, and certainly the Browns ran the ball better. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, you played that clip before I came on about, the, you know, they want to, Stefanski wants to get the lead and be aggressive on defense and then run the ball in the second half. You have to have patience and keep going back to the run, which he did, but you also need that lead that allows you to pound the ball even if you're not having success. And they did not have success early. It was tough flooding up front, especially in the run game. And I, you know, sit next to Tom Withers in the press box, it's like they're going to have to throw the ball to win this game. And they did to get the lead, and then they were able to turn it over to the run game. So, you know, I guess if I'm having to nitpick, it's the line wasn't great early, but I thought it got better as the day went on.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownszone.com, where you can read some terrific Browns coverage. Odell Beckham back out there, 5 catches, 77 yards. I got to tell you, Scott, early on I thought, here come the phone calls tomorrow about Baker trying to force the ball to Odell and Odell ruining the offense. And then it kind of calmed down a little bit. What did you think of Odell? What did you think of the offense with him?
Yeah, I got one of those texts too, Jeff. I thought he had a big impact in his first game back. I think he's only going to get better. I thought that Baker had him on the first snap of the game on a deep kind of crossing route, intermediate, and he tried to throw to the third level instead of the second level. I thought he could have had Odell on that first play of the game. I think there's this narrative, and for whatever it is, and I get that maybe Baker did force it to Odell in the past. I'm not going to deny that never happened. But now every time he looks to Odell and it's an incompletion, people think, oh, my gosh, he's forcing it to Odell. You throw the ball to your best players, right? I'm watching that Packers game last night. Nobody in Green Bay complains when Aaron Rodgers tries to throw the ball to Devontae Adams, right?
Correct.
And he goes and wins the game for you. So, you know, when you see Odell make the, you know, stop route and catch the ball on the sideline, that's a big-time play that he makes, you know? He ran another, like, triple move, and he just gets easy separation, and it's an easy completion. Makes another play on the sideline, which does a great job getting his feet in bounds. He's such an elite talent that I don't have a problem trying to get him the ball. Now, you can't force it to him all day long, but if this play is designed to get the ball to Odell, or he's in man coverage, and you said, yeah, he's going to go beat man coverage, then you have to throw the ball to Odell. So I thought the 5 for 77, he drew a couple penalties. You could tell that the Bears were trying to stop him, that he was a focus of their game plan. I think it's going to get better. It's only going to get better, and especially after Jarvis comes back and you have your top two guys.
The other thing about that to me, Scott, if you're forcing the ball to Odell, and I think that whole thing is garbage for the most part, but there clearly seemed to be, you know, we've seen times when it looked like Baker's trying to get it to him and maybe that wasn't the right time to do it. But that's on the quarterback. That's not on the wide receiver. The wide receiver doesn't have the ball. Somebody has to throw it to him. So I don't want to hear it, but if that's the case, then your quarterback has to do a better job of making your star receiver more viable in the offense, in my estimation.
No, that's a good point. And I do think Baker has grown. You know, I think he's
agreed.
Matured
yep.
and gained more confidence. So I think that's one reason that it's more of a non-issue. You know, and people act like every play is like a scheme play, right? Well, guys are going to be open. You throw to the open guy. That happens sometimes, and it happens more than maybe not in a Kevin Stefanski scheme where you have the bootlegs and you have the, you know, guys running across the field and guys are open, just open from the scheme of the play. But there's plenty of plays in NFL games where it's one-on-one and the receiver's got to go beat a guy or beat two guys. And if it's that coverage and that situation, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with Baker thinking, hey, my best shot's with Odell.
Scott, you know, as far as the coaching was concerned yesterday, what were your thoughts on that and how they had the game plan and how they were able to, you know, exploit a young quarterback? And I mean, I can't remember a time where I saw that much of a defensive presence from any Browns team in a game and that they were able to take it to Justin Fields yesterday.
Well, they certainly were. And I mean, if you just look at the numbers, right, the one net passing yard, and the 47 net total yards, I mean, those are, I mean, franchise records, number one, and you just don't see that happen in this league. I thought Joe Woods, for all the criticism he got the first 2 weeks, and I preach patience and the team preach patience, I think this was a good game for him, right? He was able to get his guys attacking and get to the quarterback. And I don't think Matt Nagy, Chicago's coach, helped Justin Fields at all. And I don't think they chipped Myles Garrett like the Texans chipped him, which allowed Myles to get some free runs and get confidence. And he took advantage of that with the 4.5 sacks. But I like Joe Woods' plan from the jump. You know, they went after a rookie quarterback. JOK was flying around. So, you know, I think against another team that's not the Bears and maybe not Matt Nagy coached, it wouldn't look the exact same. But I liked what Joe Woods tried to do. And, again, I think you need to give this defense time to come together. You need to give Joe Woods time to really know how his players play and how they play together. And I think that's only going to get better, too. Because, I mean, obviously we haven't seen a ton from Joe Woods, and it's only his second year here. But, you know, there was a reason Kevin Stefanski hired him first, right? I mean, he was the first guy he picked out for his coaching staff. You wind up not getting hired till the Niners have, you know, lost that Super Bowl. But he was the number one guy he targeted. And I think people should remember that because Kevin Stefanski is a smart guy, and there must have been something that he really saw in Joe Woods that he liked.
Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com, BrownsZone.com, where you can see all of Scott's work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.